At Arizona State University, we've made online education better, smarter, and more personalized so you can go further in your aspiring field.
I decided to pursue medicine once I realized that ASU did have the online program for biological sciences. You're still required to learn the same curriculum. You're still being tested on the same content that anyone would be tested on in person. The comprehensiveness of the program prepared me so well for medical school.
Explore over 300 programs at asuonline.asu.edu.
This is Good Morning Liberty.
Well, what is up, all of our liberty-loving friends? This is another fantastic episode of Good Morning Liberty. My name is Nate Thurston. Across from me is Charles Chuck Thompson. Over there is Parker Thompson. Coming in the door. How's it going today?
Is it though,
folks?
Is it another fantastic episode?
It could be. It's very possible. Yeah, right. It's very possible.
Hang we're on both. One second, I've got a dad real quick.
We're both very tired today. Okay. Anyway, this is another fantastic episode of Good Morning Liberty. We talk about life, liberty, and the pursuit of meaning every single day of the week. Charlie's going to be gone tomorrow, but I'm still going to do a dumb bleep episode. Don't worry about that. Today is currently Thursday, and on Thursdays, sometimes I like to do kind of deep dives into some issues. If we get to it, I got a real deep dive on an inflation thing. Stemming off of something that's probably going to be in Dumb Bleep of the Week. Not a whole lot of news going on that we haven't already talked about or that I care about right now, but there is one thing. There is one specific thing that happened a couple days ago as it pertains to the Ukraine and Russia conflict and us, of course, giving more things to Ukraine. Now, there's this article here from the AP. It says the Pentagon will give Ukraine $300 million in weapons, even as it lacks funds to replenish U.S. stockpile. Now, that headline on its face, to me, sounds like something that should be illegal or criminal or whatever it is that you want to call it, that we're just going to keep giving away weapons, even though we don't have money to replenish our stockpile. What they're basically doing is holding the American people hostage because the president has the authority to do these drawdowns of our stockpiles. But right now we don't have any funding approved to actually replenish all of the stockpiles. What they're doing is we're just going to give it away and basically put us in the position where you have to do it. You have to give the funding to replenish these stockpiles, obviously. And so I don't want to say putting the gun, people say, whatever. It's a pretty good negotiating position when you have the authority to just give away the weapons. And then what are we going to do? Sit here and say, oh, well, you know, we don't have these stockpiles. What are you going to do? Who cares? You know, so $300 million in weapons. Now, that's not very much in the grand scheme of things. Weapons are pretty expensive these days. It could be like 500 weapons for all we know. You know, it's not very much. But there
sounds like one weapon.
Yeah, just could be one. Who knows? There is something that is pretty annoying in here. And about 6 months ago, Charlie and I talked a lot about how the Pentagon had found an extra $6.2 billion that they were able to give in weapons, essentially, to Ukraine. And they did this cool little accounting gimmick where they decided that they were going to... They had messed up. Here was the story. They had messed up, and they had accidentally put down the value that it would cost us to replace the weapons when we gave them the weapons. And they realized what a stupid mistake that was. What we should actually put
also
down,
called cooking the books. If
yeah.
What, you know, if you were in a regular business.
What they realized they should have actually done was put down what we paid for the weapons like 25 years ago. Because, of course, that's the actual value of the weapons, not what we would have to pay to replace the weapons. And somehow this worked for a lot of people. They were like, oh, yeah, see, they found an extra $6.2 billion. And I know, I'm sure plenty of other people talked about it. I'm not just trying to, you know, talk about how we were right and no one else was right or whatever. But I didn't hear a lot of people talking about this idea. I'll be honest with you about how the chickens were going to come home the roost on this and that we were clearly going to replace these weapons and that it was going to end up costing way more money than what we were saying it was going to cost when we were giving them these weapons. So 6 months goes by, and now all of a sudden, we're $10 billion in the hole when it comes to replacing our weapons.
Now, I have a question, though. Is this is this multiple overdrafts? Like, are they going to have several fees?
Well, the fees have been capped now.
Or is this just one $10 billion overdraft on their account?
Who pays that? Does Ukraine pay the overdraft fees, or does the president pay the overdraft fees? What do you think it is?
I don't know. Those overdraft fees are probably predatory, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
they are.
Predatory banking practices.
I think we should outlaw the fees.
Yeah.
What we should do. The Pentagon will rush about $300 million in weapons to Ukraine after finding some cost savings in its contracts. Even though the military remains deeply overdrawn and needs at least $10 billion to replenish all the weapons it has pulled from its stocks to help Kyiv in its desperate fight against Russia. And it's the Pentagon's first announced security package for Ukraine since December, when it acknowledged it was out of replenishment funds. It wasn't until recent days that officials publicly acknowledged they weren't just out of funds, but they are $10 billion overdrawn. Mm. The announcement comes as Ukraine is running dangerously low on munitions, and efforts to get fresh funds for weapons have stalled in the House because of Republican opposition. U.S. officials have insisted for months that the United States wouldn't be able to resume weapons deliveries until Congress provided additional replenishment funds, which are part of the stalled supplemental spending bill. Pentagon officials said Monday during the briefing talks they were counting on the supplemental the cost to cover the $10 billion replenishment hole. I can't read this early in the morning. I'm too tired.
It's coming. Guys, we can go in the hole. It's fine. The
Just
money's
keep
coming.
Spinning. Yeah. They're going to do it. You know why? It was what I was saying when you were outside the room. You keep giving away the weapons. The president has the authority to do this drawdown. What are we going to do? Not replenish our stockpiles of weapons? Of course we're going to do it.
Yeah.
And so it's a great negotiating position to be in. We're just like, yeah, I'm going to give away the weapons. Okay, you have to replenish them. You've got to replace the weapons. So you're screwed.
Have to. It's, more than likely.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a good idea to have some stockpile, considering the amount of time it takes to make stuff and all that. This is the second time in less than 9 months that the Pentagon has found money to use for additional weapon shipments to Ukraine. Last June, defense officials said they had overestimated the value of the weapons the U.S. had sent Ukraine by $6.2 billion over the past 2 years. At the time, Pentagon officials said a review found that the military services used replacement costs rather than the book value of equipment that was pulled from the Pentagon stocks and sent to Ukraine. The discovery resulted in a surplus that the department used for presidential drawdown packages until the end of December. This discovery resulted in a surplus, and oddly enough, here we are, $10 billion in the hole.
That makes so much sense.
When it actually comes time to replacing the weapons, I just can't figure it out. They can't get enough accountants on this thing to figure this out. How is it there were $10 billion in the hole? Well, it's because the weapons cost more than what we told them it cost when we gave it away. Yeah. Clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly. Everyone knows this. Everyone knew it. They knew it. We knew it. Everyone knows this. This is not a surprise. The Pentagon is $10 billion overdrawn in the replenishment account, in part due to inflationary pressures, and in part because the new systems the Pentagon is seeking to replace the old systems with cost more.
Weird.
Such as the upcoming precision strike missile, which the Army is buying to replace the long-range Army tactical missile system, or ATACMS, ATACMS. Okay. So that's that story right here. The vast majority of those munitions have come from Army stockpiles due to the nature of the conventional land war in Ukraine. The months without further shipments of U.S. support have hurt operations. Ukrainian troops withdrew from the eastern city of Avdiivka last month, where outnumbered defenders had withheld Russian assault for 4 months. I know I already used the word criminal, but this to me seems like something that's criminal, to give away the weapons, to lie about how much the weapons are valued at. And honestly, don't you think the defense contractors have something to do with this? What we're clearly doing is clearing out the old weapons that we bought 25 years ago to make way for reasons to purchase all of these new weapons that the defense contractors are making. And then they give those away at their book value and not at the actual value that the weapons will cost to replace the ones that they're giving away. This is such a simple problem that I don't have any other ways to explain it.
Yet they're still doing it.
Yeah. And they're still just going to do it.
And they're going to get away with it.
How is it even legal for them to do? That's what I'm wondering. How is this allowed? How are there not congressional hearings about this? Well, why isn't anyone giving a testimony about this right now?
Well, in the grand scheme of things, $10 billion is not What is that? 30 minutes? 30 minutes. Is that 30 minutes of government spending?
10 billion. That's about 12 hours.
12 hours?
And okay. In Biden's new $7.3 trillion budget, that's about 12 hours. But in the current budget, it'd be like 15 hours, something like that.
Oh, so almost a little over half a day spending. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's not too bad. Okay, I guess we'll move on from this. The biggest point, not to try and turn this into a white pill or anything, is that, my God, we were so right.
We told you.
You know,
it was going to happen.
Everyone who listens to this show, because that means that you knew about this as well, and I don't know who else was talking about it, pat yourself on the back right now, okay? If you don't have two torn shoulders like I do, go ahead and pat yourself on the back. I need someone else to pat me on the back because it hurts too bad.
Yeah.
But go ahead and do it. You know, it just feels good, you know?
To be right.
To be right.
Yeah.
On a Thursday.
I mean, nothing's going to happen from being right.
But. No.
That's but at least you knew.
It's pretty much how we feel all the time. So it's like the same thing. Okay, let's pivot hard to another topic of conversation that I find troubling. There's this study I saw a bunch of people posting about, a bunch of people on the left, a bunch of people with hammers and sickles in their profile names too, which is still such a weird thing to me that you can put a hammer and sickle in your profile name on Twitter.
And it'd be fine.
And it's fine. Have you ever seen a swastika in someone's profile name?
Which, by the way, is fine. You can have freedom of speech if you want, but the problem that there is no backlash for that, like there would be if you had a swastika in your name. That's the ultimate issue. Or remember all those people walking around in their Che Guevara t-shirts?
Yeah.
Yeah, like it was just fine.
Some people even wear stuff that has marks on it, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. From the, what's this say, Global Strategy Group, there's a study. It's called Tax Fairness, a Guide for Advocates. And what they did was they sampled 1,000 likely voters over, let's see, this is posted on February 27th. I believe this happened in like the second week of February is when they did this survey. And it has to do with how people feel about taxes going up or down. Nearly 4 in 5 Americans, including large majorities across partisan and racial lines, support raising taxes on the wealthy and big corporations. In fact, the number is 79% of the people that responded to this survey, which is equally doled out between Republicans, Democrats, and Independents, responded saying that they support raising taxes on rich people. The most concerning parts of Republican tax positions are giving tax breaks to wealthy people and big corporations while making the middle class pay more or cutting programs people depend on like Social Security and Medicare. The most convincing pieces of Democrats' tax positions are cracking down on wealthy tax cheats and closing tax loopholes. And then it says after exposure to the positions of the parties on taxes, trust increases in Biden and Democrats in Congress to handle the cost of living and to make the tax system more fair. So what they're saying is when they start off, people say, we trust Republicans more. We don't trust Biden very much to handle cost of living. Before we keep going, as you know, we talk an awful lot about the government and the ways that they steal your money. One of the biggest ways, you know, is inflation. The government punishes you for keeping your wealth, your money in a savings account. And how do they do that? They do that with inflation. Inflation is a tax on savers. It's the systematic erosion of your wealth. Items that cost $10 today could cost $15 tomorrow, but your savings account will still have the same amount of money and it's losing purchasing power. You can fight inflation though by investing in gold. And seriously, this is a real thing. I mean, my wife and I have had this savings account that, you know, we forget to put money into. Actually, it's had the same amount of money in it for like 2 or 3 years now. Well, how much inflation have we had during that time? How much money have we just lost with that specific savings account that's just been sitting there, just losing value every single month, every single day? Noble Gold Investments is the gold IRA company that Americans trust. The founders of Noble Gold have had more than 20 years of combined experience in buying gold and silver. They've secured more than $1 billion in precious metals for their clients. This is exciting, really. I mean, this is a hedge against inflation. You know, you don't have to be as worried about economic downturns. There's great tax advantages. I get peace of mind when I'm investing in safe haven assets. you get stability during all of this chaos. You know, gold remains steady when inflation is on the rise and the dollar is in turmoil. We talk so much about the government. Clearly, that's what this podcast is about. This kind of gives you some government-proof security because unlike money, gold can't be printed. It can be your shield in times of economic uncertainty. Gold value doesn't just hold, by the way. It increases during inflationary periods. Go pull up a gold chart. Go do it. And you get Noble Gold guidance. Whether you're a seasoned investor or new to the game, Noble Gold Investments simplifies and secures your gold investment journey. And there's multiple paths. You can choose between tax-advantaged gold IRA or have physical gold delivered to your door. Noble Gold Investments ensures a seamless and easy transaction. Invest in something you can hold. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com/GML to get started. Don't wait. That's noblegoldinvestments.com/GML. Once the people are exposed to Biden's ideas on taxes they and all his programs, once they educate people,
edumacate them,
they end up trusting Biden a lot more on handling the cost of living and all that. So once again, 4 in 5 support raising taxes on rich and big corporations. Overall, that support is 79%. That is 94% for Democrats, 78% for independents, and 63% for Republicans. 85% black, 81% for Hispanic, 77% for white. AAP, Asian and Pacific Islander, I guess, 82%. Okay, so pretty even except for Republicans overall were lower on this, but still well over a majority support raising taxes on rich and big corporations. Like I said, I find these things to be fairly concerning. So Biden and the Democratic Party
it's because they think like, oh, I'm not going to have to pay taxes. Mm-hmm. It's these other people.
It's something that we've been harping on all week, actually. We've talked about this several times, and then we talked about it when we were doing our State of the Union thing for Dumb Bleep last week, and then a couple other times this week. It's a pretty common theme right now. We talked about it with the new White House budget. The $7.3 trillion budget. You have to believe in the idea that there's going to be a free lunch. Like that, you have to believe that that's a thing, that you can tax corporations and the wealthy and that it's not going to affect you negatively at all. You're just going to get the positive benefits from that. You're just going to be able to take money from the corporations and it's going to go to services that are going to help you and your life is going to get better and it's not going to have any negative impacts. You have to believe that. And even 63% of Republicans believe this.
out of 1,000 people.
Yeah. It's a 1,000-person sample size. So, you know, doesn't mean it's true for everyone or anything like that. This is Biden and the Democratic Party are more trusted on tax fairness. Republicans are more trusted to handle the cost of living. Now, I want you to understand this divide. Biden and Democrats are more trusted on tax fairness, meaning when it comes to taxing the rich and big corporations and making sure that people pay their fair share, people trust Biden on that. But they trust Republicans more on handling the cost of living. Now, Republicans are the ones who don't want to raise the taxes on the wealthy and the big corporations and, you know, fair share and all that stuff. So there's a complete disconnect in people's brains because they trust the one that wants to tax more on tax fairness, but they trust the one that doesn't want to tax more on the cost of living. Someone make that make sense for me.
That makes perfect sense, Nate. Of course. You know? Stop thinking about it.
Oh, they go through all these different questions through here. Like Republicans in Congress, this is it concerning, somewhat concerning, not concerning to you? Pass a tax plan that continues to give tax breaks to the richest Americans and big corporations while making middle class American families pay more in taxes. Is that even the thing that happened, first off? I don't even understand that question. Like, you got the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. That lowered taxes. There wasn't like, oh, they picked lower class and middle class and they raised the taxes on them and then they lowered the taxes on the top tax brackets and for corporations. Like, I don't even know what
are these hypothetical. If Republicans in Congress
statements about Republicans in Congress position on taxes and the tax proposals they support and have passed. what it says. Please indicate how so Republicans you find each statement.
The tax plan resulted in cuts to programs that people count on, like Social Security and Medicare?
No.
The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act? That,
no.
That happened?
No. No, that's what, once again, I don't understand the questions.
Right.
That they're
also
saying.
The way they frame it, like
it's clearly framed from the left.
Right.
Like this third one down.
Or the second one, even. They passed a tax plan that continues giving tax breaks to the richest Americans and big corporations while making middle class American families pay more in taxes.
Yeah, that's not
where a, does that happen?
That's not a thing that happened.
Yeah.
So
that didn't happen.
The next one down was passed a tax plan where 83% of the benefits and tax breaks went to the wealthiest 1% of Americans. So clearly it's framed from the left because the way that you arrive at that number is that the people who pay almost all of the taxes received almost all of the benefits when they cut taxes.
Because like, they're the ones that like, are paying.
There's your tax bracket. Almost all of the taxes come from this tax bracket right here. All the taxes paid in. So when you cut taxes, even if you cut them across the board right here, almost all of the benefits are going to go to that group that was paying almost all of the taxes.
God.
I think that's it's pretty simple for everyone. Yeah, it's clearly, I didn't actually look at this, what is it, global strategy group or whatever. Guarantee it at some kind of giant left-wing think tank, something like that, just judging by the way they ask these questions. Passed the plan to give tax breaks to the wealthy and now want to give even more tax cuts to corporations when they're already gouging consumers with record prices and making record profits. That's a really great way to frame the situation.
After almost every single corporation lost money during the pandemic. By the way.
Anyway, a majority in each one of these categories find this to be very concerning or somewhat concerning, just so you know. So people are very concerned about these plans. People think Biden and Democrats are going to crack down on rich tax cheats. That's like funding the IRS and stuff like that. So whatever, that's fine. My biggest issue here was with this first one. It really could have been a dumb bleep. The fact that they trust Biden more on tax fairness, but they trust Republicans to handle the cost of living. And you got two opposite plans there when it comes to taxes. Like they want the high taxes on the rich, but they trust Republicans to handle cost of living, who are people who don't want the high taxes on the rich. It just doesn't make any sense. And once again, this all boils down to, it's concerning to me that so many people answer saying that they want taxes to go up, like on big corporations and the wealthy, because that means that they truly don't think that's going to affect them at all. And as we've already said, probably in like two episodes already this week, taxes on corporations aren't paid by the corporations, they're paid by the customers.
Yep.
It is an expense. It's like shipping, it's like material costs, whatever, taxes.
Cost of goods.
It is a cost of doing business. And so all you're talking about doing is raising the cost of doing business on the corporations. And then you expect that
for customers.
Yeah. And you're saying that that's not going to affect the price of all the goods. So I think we just got to end public schooling, man. I think that's the only answer that we have right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of something else that could have been in Dumb Bleep of the Week that I wanted.
I also said for more information, go to navigatorwhatever.com.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
You can go to navigator.com sometime.
No, not navigator.com. It was something else. Navigatorsomething.org. If you go back to the study. Yeah, navigatorresearch.org.
Okay.
So.
Might check that out. See what other fine print we can find on the study. The next thing here from Sheldon Whitehouse, who is a senator from the great state of Rhode Island. Talking about inflation. Now, one thing we didn't talk about this week really was that the CPI number came in kind of hot again, higher than what was expected. People are thinking that maybe the Federal Reserve is not going to be lowering interest rates even in June, which is pushed back because they thought they might do it in March. They pushed it back to June, and now we've had a couple months of hot inflation in a row. The economy is still growing, like GDP is still going up and all that. Honestly, you know, I'm sorry if you're someone who's looking to get a house or anything. There's actually no reason for the Fed to lower the rates right now. In fact, I would be an advocate for them raising rates right now because they need to. We need to get back to what rates used to be, honestly, on the cost of money. So, but whatever, we're at like 5.5% or whatever the number is right now. Whatever, that's fine. Why would they lower it? Right, that's the question. When you still have inflation that's over 3%, what's your trigger to lowering the rates? You know,
right?
It's not down to your target 2% inflation that you're looking for. So I don't know why they would. Anyhow, so we got that hot inflation reading, and some people, get this, Charlie, some people think that Joe Biden has some of the blame on this.
He does.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're part of the problem there.
So does Trump.
You're not. Yeah, that's true.
By the way,
so does Trump. And you know why Trump has part of the blame?
Spending.
Climate change.
Oh, that's... Oh.
you're forgetting.
Oh.
When you think about Joe Biden having blame on inflation, what you're forgetting is this key inflation measure of home insurance. Insurance. That's the thing. And what you find is that Republicans want to do more fossil fuels, which is leading to more climate change, which is leading to higher insurance costs. Mm. Okay. And so while you want to blame Joe Biden for this inflation, just keep in mind, sorry, I'll just read the tweet. Republicans blame inflation on Joe Biden, but in fact, it's Republicans' fossil fuel funded climate denial that is driving this key inflation measure. Very clever wording. I want to give him credit for the very clever wording in there. But in fact, it's fossil fuel funded climate denial that is driving this key inflation measure. Or I could say driving this key inflation measure. Now, how key is this inflation measure, Charlie? Let me just give you a preview. As far as the weighting in the CPI, it's 0.41. Okay. That's how key this
inflation.
Yeah, that's how key this inflation measure is. Yeah. Just so you know, Sheldon Whitehouse says insurance is skyrocketing because climate disasters are worse and more unpredictable. And it points to
and also GM is sharing your data now. They're selling your data to insurance companies on your driving habits.
I saw that. So I thought you had to sign up for programs like that.
You do.
Yeah.
But it's in the fine print when people are buying these cars that they're not looking at.
Like smart cars, they're just, of course, they're going to have all the data.
Yeah.
You know, they know every time you press the gas pedal, how hard you pressed it. Like it's all in the computer.
It's all in there now. And, they're now selling this data to insurance companies. The insurance companies are buying them up. And then they're raising your rates. Some people, it's pretty ridiculous. Like their insurance is going up like on their cars, like 300-500%.
Yeah.
I mean, it's people going from paying like $80 to $100 a month to like $300-$500 a month.
I don't know. I need to read more about that. I don't know how much of that is linked to that. There's a really big thing that's changed over the last couple of years, and that's like break-ins and theft has increased dramatically. And people talk
due
about
to climate change?
Probably climate change, because that creates
fear,
disproportionate poverty, like people become impoverished because of climate change, and then they have to go out and try to break into people's cars to steal stuff. So yeah, it's still climate change.
Even people in the group here are saying their insurance doubled. Insurance gone up by over $150.
I guess, I don't know, maybe Honda doesn't share this data. I don't know. My insurance hasn't changed.
I usually buy 6 months at a time, and I think, let's see, that was October, so I guess my insurance is due next month. I guess I'll see what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. We added my car. When we got my car, we added it to the plan. It cost $20 to add my car to our insurance plan. We have like crazy cheap insurance. And I think maybe it's 25 or 30 right now. So I guess that is an increase, you know?
Yeah.
It's like almost a 50% increase in it. So, okay, from this Fortune piece right here, Jerome Powell just revealed a hidden reason why inflation is staying high. The economy is increasingly uninsurable. Okay, that's one thing. So when you talk about either home insurance or car insurance, what they're going to try to link it to, because insurance is counted in the CPI data and insurance costs have gone up a lot. Now, what they're going to try to link it to is climate change. Okay?
That makes sense.
This is an article about
this episode is all about how things make sense.
Yeah. This is an article about how insurance costs have gone up and they link it to climate change without mentioning how much property theft has gone up, car break-ins, have gone up. Car theft has gone up. Without mentioning how much housing prices have gone up. Remember, you can ask, like, what's a bigger portion of home insurance, you think? Is it whatever risk there is from climate-related disasters? And we'll go more into this. Or is it the fact that your house is worth $600,000 and they need to insure it?
When a few years ago,
it was worth $300,000 a few years ago.
Right.
You know, so which one of those really has more bearing on the cost of your insurance going up?
Right.
Is it the fact that cars doubled in price or whatever it was? Or is it the fact that climate change caused more wet roads? They literally have a study talking about how roads are more wet because there's more rain in some areas and driving in wet conditions can cause more accidents. Yeah. Let's see. Okay, so in this article, they link to a study. That's good. We need to link the studies. Now, you would think the study is going to break down how much of these costs for insurance have actually been due to climate change or weather-related things or whatever, but it doesn't. This is just a study of how much money are climate-related disasters costing Americans every year. And that's it. It's just like the number of things. You know, they say, oh, we had $1 billion hurricane or a $5 billion hurricane or whatever.
It Which, is just by the way, those costs are going up too
they
because
are.
The cost of everything goes up.
Everything is going up.
Yes.
There's more homes. There's more people. There's, so
even,
of course.
So a natural, like if you had another Katrina, which would be, almost 20 years later, 2025. Let's say there's another Katrina in 2025. Whatever it costs to clean up Katrina in 2005 is going to cost more in 2025.
Way more. Yeah.
Because it the cost be the, of everything is way more.
It could be the exact same storm, not made stronger by fossil fuel emissions and stuff like that. No, the exact same storm.
Honestly, a weaker storm.
Yeah.
You could get a category
true.
Four.
That's true.
In there.
Bertrand.
Name her Kathy. Katrina's sister.
Mm-hmm.
Coming in there. Hitting the exact same spot. Probably doing less damage would cost more.
I think that you're absolutely correct about that.
That's because the cost of lumber and nails and shingles and roads and whatever else hurricanes do damage to, puppies,
which is sad. Puppy costs have gone up a lot.
Replacing all of that has gone up dramatically.
There you go, Hurricane Karen.
As we just said, in the last couple of years, almost everything has doubled in price, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Like just over the last couple of years, it's insane.
So I wanted to look into this a little bit. I wanted to look into the CPI.
And by the
number.
Way, with inflation being over 3%, that means costs are still going up.
Yeah, that's not coming down.
The costs have not come down.
The rate at which they are increasing has come
I
down.
I tell you, every time I go to the grocery store, I just can't believe. I went to Walmart the other day, and just to get a few things and walked out, it was like $175.
Yeah,
and it was like I said, whoa. What?
How bad is it?
And they looked at me like, yeah, it's $175. What?
All right. So this study itself doesn't tell you how much of the cost is due to climate change or whatever.
When was the last time you went to the grocery store for less than $100?
I don't know. It's always over $100.
I used to go and most of the time it would be like $75-$80.
Mm-hmm.
Literally get a few steaks for the week, like ribeyes. I get a few sides. I get my milk and, the standard stuff that I typically use. $75-$80.
Paul Krugman says that you're crazy.
And now that stuff is at least $120 to $150 every time I go. It's just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's almost doubled.
I covered this pretty in depth one of the days that you were gone.
In fact, remember all those steaks I had in my freezer? Just over less than a year, the price per pound for ribeye almost doubled.
Mm.
I think I had a steak in my freezer from May of 2022 that was like $9.99 a pound, and then all the way up to $18.99 a pound for the recent steaks that I bought.
That's just price gouging from Big Pharma, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, with an F.
With an F, yeah.
with an F.
Okay, going to move
from
into
Big Ag.
Back to what we were talking about here.
Bag.
Big which ag. Is that Sheldon Whitehouse says that this key inflation measure. You know, you can't blame it on Joe Biden. You blame it on Republicans. I wanted to tell you how.
And climate change.
Yeah. I wanted to. Well, that's blamed on Republicans. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I said. I wanted to tell you how key this inflation measure is. So we're going to talk about insurance real quick. Okay. I pulled through this data today. Now, new vehicle prices have gone up over the last few years, but in the last year, they haven't really increased that much. Okay, so that's one thing to keep in mind. Vehicle insurance did go up a lot over the last year. Motor vehicle insurance right here, 20% inflation from February 2023 to February 2024. Now, I don't know what portion of that is due to climate change.
All of it.
I can't really tell you.
It's all of it, Nate.
But a really big portion of our CPI number comes to shelter costs. Like shelter costs are 36% of the CPI number. All right. Now, when you look at actual household insurance, that number over the last year went up 4.1%. Now, we're first off supposed to believe, like when you think about climate disasters, think about stuff flooding your house, wind blowing down your house, whatever it is, a wildfire coming through, burning down your whole neighborhood and all that. Well, home insurance, you know, going up a bunch. And that was 4.1%, okay? It's important to keep in mind that the weighting for that on the CPI number is 0.41, which essentially means it almost doesn't matter, but it does matter just a little bit. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Well, what's the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day? I know I got a lot of stuff. Maybe I would exercise. Maybe I would take a nap or read one of the books that sit on my coffee table I need to read right now. We spend a lot of time wishing we had more time. So many things in the day that we have to do. The best way to squeeze that special thing that you need to do in your schedule is to know what's important to you and to make it a priority. Well, therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Now, as many of you know, I've done therapy in the past. It was super helpful, helped me get through some tough times that I've gone through even in the last few years. And you know, Charlie has also done therapy in the past, even used BetterHelp for quite some time. So it can help you develop positive coping skills, know how to set boundaries. You can be the best version of yourself. Very beneficial for both of us. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GML today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GML. The next thing I want to tell you about is when you look at what he said, which is that you can't blame it on Joe Biden because we've got fossil fuel funded climate denial that's driving the key inflation measure. He said that this is a key inflation measure. Now, what most people are not going to do is even try to have the conversation that Charlie and I are having right now, which is how much this actually weighs on the CPI number itself. And the answer is it doesn't. It does, but almost none. Okay. So when you actually break this down and you say it's 0.4%, and maybe it's 0.4% of the shelter, or maybe it's 0.4% of the entire thing, we'll never know the answer to that question. It actually weighs less than, say, I pulled another thing, dry cleaning services do on the CPI number. I didn't bring it into this thing right here. It weighs less than the increased cost of laundry services and dry cleaning services, okay? More important things that you can find would be things like food away from home, where that increased 4.5%, and that has a 5% weighting on the actual CPI number. Like, you could look at plenty of other things, the increased cost of used cars and trucks, stuff like that, or of new trucks, things like that, or of shelter costs themselves. And now you can either say that even if you look at this number, you could say, well, that's because of climate change. Well, how much of that number is due to climate change? Because at the same time, you've had a massive increase in cost of shelter itself, of houses. I mean, the value of my house has gone up almost 100% since the whole pandemic thing happened over the last few years. The value of Charlie's house has gone up a bunch during that amount of time. Okay. So do you think that's a bigger underlying driver of the cost of insuring your house? Or is it the fact that there's weather events? Now there are weather events, Charlie, but how many of those are due to climate change? How many of them are outside of the norm and due to climate change, or how many of them are just weather events? How many of them could just be due to the fact that we're still in the El Nino right now?
And I think it's
the weather's kind of crazy at that time. Okay. So you're talking about a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of 0.4% of whatever the number is. And you're trying to come out here with a tweet. And let me tell you why I brought this up, because this tweet's got over 3,000 retweets so far, you know, viewed by hundreds of thousands of people from a sitting U.S. senator, and talking about how, yeah, you want to blame it on Joe Biden, but actually it's this thing that is 0.00000001% of the inflation number. But no one's going to look into that, because people don't understand how they actually weight these things. We don't even understand how they actually weight these things, but we do understand that they weight these things. Okay. We can guarantee you that part right there.
There's a scale for CPI. You know, they weigh it. That's how they come up with the number. You know, Jerome Powell steps on a scale every morning.
The more time I spend going through, because basically all my time is spent on Twitter. I don't even open up Facebook and Instagram and any of that anymore, which is bad when you're running pages on those things, you know. But I don't even look at those. I'm sure they're all the same, but my God, there's just so much lying. Is it lying? Do you think he knows?
I think it's misinformation, Nate, and we probably need a ministry of truth to watch out for this kind of stuff.
We talked about the same thing yesterday with the Robert Hur testimony thing, and you can scroll through the keywords and find exactly what you want to find about that. You can find your left-wing guy saying that they exonerated Biden and that Robert Hur didn't find anything and that this is a witch hunt or whatever. Or you can scroll through your right-wing people and they can say, oh, look, Biden's guilty of these things. He's old and senile, and that's what they said. And this is a double standard and all that because they're charging Trump and not charging Biden. Like, you can find whatever you want. And like yesterday, it bothered me because, like I said on yesterday's episode, you've got a report from her, you've got a transcript of the interview with Biden, and you've got the actual factual accounts of what happened with the documents and all that. And then you've got a testimony yesterday, and you've got an actual evidence paper trail of every single thing that happened.
And then yet people can derive multiple different realities from the same facts.
You can still create different realities. And now he's able to post, well, you can't blame inflation on Joe Biden because fossil fuel climate denial is driving this key inflation measure. Maybe he finds it to be a key inflation measure because it's important. Maybe he said key because you use a key to get into your house and your house has to have insurance. And so that's why it's a key inflation measure. You know, maybe that's what he meant by key. I'm not really sure.
Yep.
But now he's able to create for the hundreds of thousands of people that saw this post and the thousands of people that retweeted it, to create a nice, safer version of an alternate reality that exists where our current inflation, if it's not just from corporate price gouging, it's also from Republicans' climate denial, and it's not because of the money printing. It's not because of too much money chasing too few goods or anything like that. Well, it's actually now because of climate change and price gouging. Those are the top two drivers of inflation that we have.
Greed.
And greed.
Which is coupled with price gouging. So
actually, you know what? It's capitalism.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yep.
There's your problem.
Yeah.
And Putin. Thank you, T-Dub.
AOC nailed it. It's the only problems we really have. If we get rid of corporations.
Yeah.
Hear me out, you know? You just get rid of all of them. All of our problems will be solved.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Do we really need 12 different kinds of toothpaste?
Dang. No. We only need one. Right. And that's Sensodyne Pronamel.
Or is it just...
That's all you need.
Is it just one thing of toothpaste that we need?
You ban them all down to that one. Of course, that one's then going to increase in price, you know.
Oh, whatever.
It doesn't have competition.
Right. No, because that's going to be a good company run by good people who are not going to price gouge their consumers.
Well, we won't be using money anyway. Yeah. You know, I don't know what we're going to use, but those people are just going to produce that toothpaste out of the goodness of their hearts.
Why don't we just make stuff and then trade with people?
That's
stuff.
A good idea. Yeah.
You know, get rid of money.
That's a great idea.
And religion.
Money is the root of all of our problems.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go. Oh, by the way, the positive note, all we can do is keep talking about this stuff and making sure that as many people as possible know. Either, you know, we can't give you the facts or the other version of reality on every single thing that happens, but we can all at least make sure that we take this mindset every time we see anything and try to dig into it and try to figure out what the actual truth is behind all of it and question everything. Even if it's something that you hold near and dear to your, well,
bosom.
I was trying to do that Biden quote, but I can't remember what it was anymore. I pulled a Biden trying to do a Biden quote, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, well, close us out.
Here you go. For
the beer brewed here, it is used to make the brew beer in this final. Oh, Earth Rider, thanks for the Great Lakes. I wonder why it's
this one.
Well, the best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you that you like to be able to, anyway, we're going to get a lot done.
They're going to get a lot done.
That's a good one.
That's all that matters. All right, if you enjoyed today's episode, please share it with a friend, a family member, or anyone else for that matter.
Do you want to listen to more Biden stuff?
Share the show. You want to know what is and isn't? Share the show. That's what I'm saying. You want liberty and foster your children in the care of others?
Do you want what? Did you talk about fostering your care and is this your children and the care of others?
Then liberty, bibberty.
Okay. I gotcha.
Share it. Go to all the websites listed in the show notes. Support our sponsors that support this show.
Should do that.
That's a free way you can
for sure
text the numbers, go to the links, do all the things you should do. You guys are doing a good job of that, by the way, because we have sponsors that are re-upping their ads.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to you. So please keep doing that. That helps the show out more than you know. Do all those things or don't. If you do, Nate, we'll be back again tomorrow, I think, for some dumb bleep of the week.
I will.
And I will see you guys on Tuesday. Until then, I hope you have a good day and a good morning, Liberty.